Eric Carmen and Hungry Eyes. Anne has a point that she wants to make on the radio. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Anne. What's on your mind?
It was just on the point of, I heard your headlines this morning coming on about the police service not wanting to go to work and because of the abuse they take. And firstly, I want to say, across the board, I work in the NHS and work in conjunction with the emergency services, that you know, no abuse on any, whether it's verbal or physical, should be tolerated on any level. So we all completely understand about, because they're on the front line, they don't want to be faced with that every day. But 15 years ago, when I was a paramedic working in the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service, I was very badly beaten by a patient's relative. It was only a few months before my wedding, and I sustained, had to get stitches to my face, and, you know, obviously black and blue and things like that. And I have to say that the support that I got from the PSNA at the time was abysmal. The fella that assaulted me has still, to this day, 15 years on, not been prosecuted. The police know where he lives. For about the first 3 years after the event, it was being chased up by the police ombudsman. But after that, the letters stopped coming with the updates. And to be quite honest, by that stage, I just wanted to forget that it ever happened, you know. So we've all been victims of it, but at the end of the day, we're here to do a public service. And sometimes you just have to suck it up. It's not nice and it's not easy, but I have been there. But I think for the police to say, you know, they don't want to come up to work and all the rest of it, I mean, man up a wee bit. You know, we're all getting it. As I say, I'm still part of the NHS, and, you know, I would still be sort of verbally abused at times, but, you know, unfortunately, it shouldn't, but it comes with the job description at times.
And I don't want you to make any reference to the person who assaulted you, but this idea of you going to help someone, you going to assist a relative of this individual, and he ends up beating you up. Now, the very idea that anyone would beat anyone up is unacceptable. The concept of someone beating up a paramedic is practically unbelievable. The idea of a male beating up a female paramedic is, like, so beyond my comprehension that I can hardly find the words to describe it. How did it come about?
Well, obviously, as you say, I mean, I don't want to say too much because of the data protection, and, you know, but at the end of the day, I want to stress it was a patient's relative. It wasn't even the patient. The patient very much needed our assistance, but the relative, as we know, was under the influence of drink and drugs at the time, and he wanted the keys to a car that the patient had, and they were being refused. So he actually tried to steal the ambulance, and I went into the cab from the back of the ambulance, if you understand, to try and retrieve the keys off him, because it was a small cul-de-sac and it was during the summer and small children were out and about. And obviously I didn't want him getting away with an ambulance, especially under any circumstances, never mind under the influence of substances. And it was then where he followed me back into the back of the ambulance where the patients would be. And he actually had the keys in his hand and were using them as a knuckle duster. And that's how I sustained stitches to my face and so forth, and a lot of bruising.
That is incredible. It absolutely brutal. And to think that that individual did not face the rigours of the law, I can understand why you're unhappy about it.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, you know, it was actually in May 2004. So, I mean, every May comes around, you sort of think, God, you know, there's another year gone. And you do try to put it behind you, but it's always still there. And obviously, I have the physical scar on my face as a constant reminder too. But, you know, people aren't brought to justice for some reasons, you know, and it's crazy, you know. And I mean, it was quite a vicious assault.
Obviously, the police came. They were called. They arrived. They investigated it. They saw the cuts. They interviewed the assailant. Am I describing what happened?
Yes, certainly. I mean, he was arrested at the scene, and because he was under the influence, he couldn't be questioned until he had sobered up. And then he was released on bail, and that basically was the last, after I made my statement, I ever heard about it. The police ombudsman used to, as I say, report back and say, oh, they can't get a hold of him, they can't do this. Always been reported as living down south now and things. And I actually come from the area where he lives, which is another problem because I have seen him a few times, you know, in the local area. So I know very much so that he's not down south. And sometimes you wonder, you know, what is the crack? Because about 5 years ago, before I left the ambulance service, a young girl, actually, we're talking about spitting, spat very viciously, you know, with, you know, a big heckle, as I would say, in my face. And she was prosecuted, like, within a matter of weeks, she was prosecuted and done, I think she was sent for 6 months probation, you know, on, you know, that sort of just system where they're allowed out, but if they do anything within 6 months, they're, you know, they will be put into jail. And you think, okay, that was a gob and it wasn't nice, but this was an actual physical harrowing event, and yet he's roaming the streets 15 years on, you know, and you sort of go, where is the justice, you know?
Understandably. I completely understand you asking that question. Where is the justice, and why has that guy not been dealt with? That's incredible. And horrible experience with the woman as well. How often do you guys come across people who are, for want of a better term, lowlives? They just don't seem to have any appreciation for humanity.
Well, I mean, I would say on behalf of all my colleagues, I have left the ambulance service now, but I, you know, my brother still works there, and you know, I still keep in regular contact with very close friends there, and there is not one crew on one shift, whether it's day or night, that wouldn't come under some sort of abuse, whether it is physical or verbal. Absolutely no way is there. There is always a report of some sort of abuse to the ambulance service, and we have seen some cases been brought to court, but the very little in the way of penalty is handed out, you know. And I definitely think it should be an automatic jail term for people, because we go out to give our help under frontline situations. We do not know what we're running into, just like the PSNI and just like the fire service. We don't know what we're actually getting into. A lot of it's hostile. And, you know, we don't want to sound all bravado, but they do, and we do put our lives on the line, because you just don't know what you're getting into. And it can be very scary for man or woman. I don't believe, you know, it's any different should it have been one of my male colleagues that had been assaulted, you know, and there have been a lot of instances of that.
I think everyone listening to this programme who's got any form of common sense will be agreeing 100% with you, Anne. Thanks for telling us. Thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That woman deserves justice, even 15 years on from the thug who beat her with the keys. But will she get it? Of course she won't. Thomas has a point about this initiative that's going to reach a climax today with the unveiling of the mural. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Yes, just on that lady there, a hero, as I would describe. My own partner's a nurse in the mirror, and she's been abused and assaulted and stuff. And these people are on the front line, and they're heroes of the National Health Service, a whole lot of them. But yes, Frank, the mural being unveiled today, absolutely fantastic. Well done to you and other the other broadcasters from the BBC who are going to be there and to promote this thing. And you, I have to say there, this is 2 days in a row. I'm congratulating you, Frank. You have let Gary on, you've let me on numerous occasions to highlight this thing. And this is one thing that brings the community together. The guy that was on saying that people are going to people's houses, it's happening all over the place. And I think it's because it's hard to gather evidence of people for the police. And the police aren't always there to do that job. So people do feel a need, and it's not vigilantes, it's not paramilitaries, it's just people from the community going and having protests at people's houses. But the main thing is to contact the police. As you said, it is their job. It's good to see people working together. These scumbags, and that's all they are, they're bringing death to the streets of Northern Ireland, and people are coming together from both communities to highlight them, and they're actually naming them, and they're sending information between people. These this filth are moving into areas where they're not known, and people are contacting and letting people know. But as long as it doesn't go to any violence, as long as the people are peaceful and the police are there, it highlights them too, and maybe shows the police, look, they're going to have to do more to get at these people, and they call a confidential telephone line if you have a problem with the police. This thing getting unveiled today, absolutely fantastic. It's on the main road. You'll see it. Everybody will drive around that roundabout. Thousands of cars pass there every day. And hopefully it highlights to people that the one pill can't kill. It's a fact that people from in North and West Belfast with one pill actually killing people.
Right, Thomas, thank you indeed. We'll be up there at 1:45 today. The other issue that Thomas is talking about there were protests outside certain houses in North Belfast last night. And we discussed this earlier on the programme, whether or not that is the right thing to do, to protest outside houses, to name people on Facebook. The initiative One Pill Will Kill is very clear. The advice is to report what you know to the police using the Crime Stoppers number. That is the policy of the One Pill Will Kill strategy. Right, it is 29 minutes past 10. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Good morning to you if you're just joining us.
Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.
Fall in love with one of the most romantic ballets of all time with English National Ballet's Giselle at the Grand Opera House Belfast from 21st to 24th June. Be swept away by Mary Skeeping's classic version of this timeless tale about innocence and betrayal and the redemptive power of love, with some of ballet's most dramatic scenes and otherworldly images all set to Adolph Adams' haunting original score and performed live by English National Ballet Philharmonic. Book for English National Ballet's Giselle now at goh.co.uk.
Looking for family fun this June bank holiday weekend? Come to Tattersall's International Horse Trials and Country Fair for world-class equestrian action and all the fun of a country. Great food, bars, shopping and tons for kids. Under 12's free.
This weekend, Ferry House, Ratoath, County Meath.
See tats.ie.
Great family fun this weekend.
These days, some people couldn't care less. At Lydian Care, we couldn't care more. We're recruiting throughout Northern Ireland, looking for home care workers, healthcare assistants, support workers, registered nurses for the NHS and private sector. We offer great pay and free training. If you care, contact the agency that cares. Visit lydiancare.com or search Facebook for Lydian Care.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105 with National Trust. Become a member and enjoy free access to our amazing places and spaces all year round. Search National Trust NI online.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.
Right, good morning. Paul's not happy with Thomas. Paul feels Thomas's Twitter account. It makes unpleasant reading. It's not his Twitter account that's been broadcast here. If you're not happy with what he's saying on Twitter, then cope with him or deal with him or reply to him on Twitter. But he's on here. He's making a few points. He's challenged many a time. He's on here quite often. But Paul does not like what he says, what Thomas says on Twitter. Right, Paul, good morning. Good morning to you. Frank, absolutely despicable listening to that paramedic and what she was through. You'll probably find her assailant is in the paramilitaries. Assaults like this should be an automatic jail sentence, says Les, who's in Dunmurry. Quite a few of you remarking on the female paramedic or former paramedic who told us that story, and you're sending her your good wishes. Frank, I rang the PSNI to report a crime last week. A leading drugs dealer and his girlfriend were drunk and driving from a car park close to where I live. They were driving with a bottle of alcohol in their hand. The cop asked me how drunk I thought they were. Unreal. They drove into town, came back 20 minutes later, and the police hadn't arrived. I'd like to think the police would react more quickly than that, especially to a report of someone who is drinking and driving. Now, tell me this. How easily offended are you? There's a woman, and she had an unfortunate experience en route.